Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. This ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we're humbled at the reading of your word. Lord, your word is true. Lord, we are convicted as we read your word. Lord, we thank you so much for teaching us. And we ask, Lord, that as we look at this passage in Proverbs this morning, that you would teach us. Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts. Lord, that we would learn what you would have us to. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, for blessing us, for giving us these instructions. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage this morning that we're going to look at is really very similar to the last passage we looked at in Proverbs. You remember I titled that sermon, The Heart of Parenting. And instead of that, the last time, the focus was somewhat on teaching parents to be good parents. And yet this time the emphasis is more on teaching children to be good children. But in both cases, we see that the heart is really the issue. The heart is the issue. As parents, you know, we have a great privilege to teach and to raise, to speak truth into the lives of our children. And what a privilege it is. Certainly, we have done nothing to deserve children. And yet, what a blessing they are, and what a privilege it is that we can partake in the work that the Lord is doing in their lives and in their heart. And so it's a privilege as parents that we can speak into their hearts and lives. And so last time, the focus was mostly on the parents and their role in raising their children. But now today, in these verses, the focus is more on the role of the child and their role and responsibilities in their own upbringing. So children, this is very much for you this morning. The title is, Children, Direct Your Heart in the Way. That's taken from verse 19 that we see here. Children, direct your heart in the way. Now throughout these verses, we're going to see warnings, and we're going to see instructions, and more warnings, and more instructions. But throughout these verses, in the midst of these warnings and instructions, we see this common struggle that we all struggle with at times. This struggle between doing today what feels good or doing today what is good. To live for the flesh or to live for the Lord. And the main point throughout these verses is to direct your heart in the way. Direct your heart in the way. So we already covered 17, but 17 and 18 are kind of tied together there. So let's begin with 17 and 18. We have a warning. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Well, here we're reminded that there is more to life than today. There's more to life than today. Tomorrow is coming. Tomorrow is coming. You see, sinners live their life as though today is it. All there is today. And so they indulge in sin. They live out their desires with no regard to the consequences that they will find in the future. And so following the warning here in verse 17, not to envy sinners, we see here further motivation to live rightly before God, because there is a future. Today is not all there is. There is a future. There will be tomorrow. Certainly at times we may view the life of a sinner and we see just a glimpse of their life and we think, oh, they've got it so good. I mean, it's an easy life. It's an enjoyable life. And we can sometimes be deceived. But we need to be reminded, it's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Tomorrow is coming. You remember in Psalm 73, Asaph describes this struggle he has had in envying the wicked. And he goes on in that chapter speaking about how just his description of the wicked and what he saw in their life, how easy they had it, how good of a life they had. And he was struggled with being envious of them. He foolishly thought for a moment maybe he had chosen the wrong way. And then he recognized when he considered their end, when he considered their future. Yeah, okay, maybe it looks nice today, but tomorrow's coming. What then? And his eyes were open. He realized, yeah, it may look nice today, but tomorrow's coming. The Lord is going to bring judgment down upon them. There are going to be consequences for their sin. And certainly for us, at times we have the same struggle. We see others who seem to be prospering in their sin. And yet, tomorrow is coming. It won't last. Judgment is coming. So don't let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. You see, those who are in Christ Jesus have a future, and it's a bright future. It's not, being in Christ Jesus is not all the pleasures you want for today and nothing tomorrow. No, the blessings of Christ are today and tomorrow for eternity. Certainly, today there may be trials. There may be struggles. But your hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. Your hope will not be cut off. God's people are blessed, not just for today, but for eternity. So the warning here is not simply, don't let your heart envy sinners, but don't live for today. Don't live for the lusts of your flesh. Live for the Lord. In Him we have a future. In Him our hope is not cut off. So do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Then we have some instructions here in verse 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Here we are really called to live purposefully, to live deliberate lives. First of all, it says, listen, my son, and be wise. Again, we need to be humble. We need to be teachable. We need to listen and learn that we might grow in wisdom. But then we have this instruction to direct your heart in the way. Consider that. Direct your heart. A statement like this is so absolutely contrary to the wisdom of man. You know, our culture teaches a different lesson. Not direct your heart, follow your heart. This is man's wisdom. Follow your heart. But what is following your heart? Following your heart means to follow your desires. Live how you want to live. Do what pleases you. This is certainly not what we're instructed to do here, nor is it wise. For the heart of man is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. If we just follow our hearts wherever it leads us, it will lead us into sin. So we must direct our heart. Don't follow your heart. Lead your heart. This is being purposeful. This is deliberately going a certain direction. It's purposely choosing to do what you know is right, even though your sinful desires want to lead you astray. It's walking in the fear of the Lord, living to please Him, repenting of your sin, turning from your selfish indulgence, and instead living for the Lord Jesus, following Jesus with all your heart. Now, certainly we have a tendency at times to place all the responsibility of directing a child's heart on the parent. And certainly parents have a great responsibility. But in this particular verse, it's the child himself who is called to listen, to be wise, to direct his own heart in the way. So children, yes, your parents have a job to do, but so do you. Direct your heart in the way. Follow Christ. Now in verses later on, we'll look at more of the details of what this looks like. But let's go on another warning in verses 20 and 21. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Here we're warned of the pitfalls of keeping bad company. And we see here man's struggle once again of wanting to feed the flesh, wanting to indulge. So we're warned here of bad company. Do not be with them. The warning here has to do with the people that were around. Who do you spend time with? Who do you spend the most time with? Who are you often around? Who are your friends? You know, young people can often be very careless in regard to who they keep company with, oftentimes being very naive and underestimating the influence that their peers will have on them. Who you keep company with is very important. Bad company corrupts good morals. You see, the people that you're around, they will rub off on you. Whether you realize it or not, they will rub off on you. You'll pick up their habits. You'll pick up their ways. So avoid bad company. But specifically, we see here the bad company mentioned here. Alcoholics, gluttons. Don't be with those who overeat and overdrink. They have a lack of self-control. They're feeding the flesh. They're overindulging. These people very much so have this live for today mentality. They have no regard for the future. You see, they just want to indulge. They just want to enjoy themselves. And they do this regardless of the consequences that will come tomorrow. But tomorrow will come, and they will suffer these negative consequences. They will be disappointed. And so some of these consequences, now certainly there are many consequences to being a drunk or a glutton, many consequences of being around, keeping bad company with those who overeat and overdrink. And yet, they're all negative, and they're all important. And yet here this morning we see in this verse specifically the negative effect that's mentioned here is the negative effect that it's going to have on your work ethic and your finances. It will drag you down. It will bring you to poverty. You see, those who overeat and overdrink, they overindulge. They overconsume. They overspend. They oversleep. You see, when they live in excess today, they're spending tomorrow's money. But not only do they spend too much because they waste resources, eating and drinking too much, but also we see here that overeating and drinking too much, it doesn't motivate you to work. It makes you drowsy. You see, it makes you feel like sleeping. It doesn't motivate you. It doesn't encourage you to get after it. But it has the opposite effect. You just want to relax. You just want to take a nap. Now, certainly, we've all experienced this to some degree or another. I mean, am I the only one who's eaten too much for lunch one day? And then it's time to get back to work, and work is the last thing I want to do. I mean, I just want to lay down under a shade tree and let the afternoon go by. Well, that's what this is like, except even worse. You physically do not want to work when you overeat and overdrink. And so this is overindulgence, and it brings you to poverty. You're clothed with rags. Because not only do you spend too much money on your pleasures, but then those pleasures damage your income as well. So the warning here is to avoid bad company. Certainly at times it may look like it's the way to go. It looks enjoyable, but tomorrow's coming. And poverty is in their future. You might think it looks harmless to overeat and overdrink. And yet, if you partake with them in this foolishness, in this overindulgence, you will partake with them also in poverty. So be careful. Avoid bad company. Continuing on in verse 22, we have more instructions here. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Children, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. You know, maybe you don't have the best parents. I mean, maybe they're not perfect. But understand, God could have put you into any family that He wanted to. But He put you into that family that you're in. Your parents, you could argue, were custom picked for you by God. Listen to your parents. Are they perfect? No way. Do they know everything? Not at all. And yet God is going to use them in your life. Listen to your parents. despite all their imperfections, God will use your parents in a special way to teach you and guide you. Now, children, this is also not just speaking of, well, this is not talking about when you're just this little kid who doesn't know anything, who doesn't know what to do. No, this verse is speaking of even when you grow older. It says, do not despise your mother when she's old. This isn't just listening, this is honoring your parents. Listen and honor your parents. You know, this is just part of our own foolishness and our sinfulness and our pride. We go through these stages in life. It's like when we're very young, we think that our parents know everything, right? I mean, we think mom and dad have all the answers, they know everything. And then we get a little older and wiser and we realize they really don't. I mean, they're wise, but they really don't know everything. And then yet our foolishness comes in and our pride, and we begin to think that we know everything, right? At least we know better than they do. And yet we don't. We need to humble ourselves. We need to honor our parents. We need to listen to them, even when they're old. Verse 23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Here we see, children, you're not only reminded here of the great value of truth, but you're encouraged to put out every effort to get it. You know, when it speaks of buying truth and do not sell it, part of this is showing its immeasurable value. Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. But this buying and not selling truth is not only expressing its tremendous value, but also encouraging unwavering love and pursuit of it. You see, all three of these, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, all three belong to God, and they should be sought after by seeking God. They cannot be found apart from Him. This is what it means to direct your heart in the way. To cry out to God that He would teach you, that He would show you the error of your ways, that He would humble you and teach you His ways. But certainly don't just pray for it. Don't just ask God and then sit there. No. This is a passionate pursuit. Pursuing wisdom, instruction, understanding. Spare no pains, no cost in pursuit of knowing the Lord and His truth, in growing in wisdom, this wisdom from above. And as God blesses you and teaches you, treasure it. Hold on to it. Delight in it. Walk in it. When it speaks here of do not sell it, the idea here is never depart from it. Never turn your back on the wisdom of God. At times there will be temptations to do so for the sake of worldly advantages. But walk in God's ways. Don't live for the moment. Live for the Savior. Don't forget your riches in Christ and indulge in your sinful desires. But live your life with purpose, with direction, directing your heart to know and grow in the Lord more and more. This is what it is to direct your heart in the way. not following the desires of your heart, but leading your heart, directing your heart in God's way. Then verse 24 and 25, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Here, these verses just re-emphasize what we already saw here in verse 15 and 16. That parents are brought great joy by seeing their children follow the Lord. You know, it doesn't say here that the father of the rich will greatly rejoice, or the father of the successful, but the father of the righteous. The father of the righteous. Good parents take great interest and concern for the hearts of their children, and they have no greater joy than to see them walking in obedience to the Lord. What a joy it is. And this is a big deal. Is it not surprising to you? It's surprising to me. This is such a big deal. This is the fourth verse in this chapter alone, speaking of this truth, that parents rejoice when their children walk in truth. We see here, though, in the last verse here, in verse 25, it's not only just stating this fact, but it goes beyond that. There's an exhortation here to children to make this a reality for your parents. Don't just think of this as a general truth. No, you specifically, you think of this as you walk in wisdom, as you live for Christ, that your parents might experience this joy over you, that she who bore you, who went through the pains of childbirth for you, that those that invested so much time and energy, that those who have sacrificed the most for you in raising you and teaching you and training you and loving you and caring for you, give them this great joy. Don't bring them to sorrow, but bring them joy and gladness. Children, walk in the fear of the Lord always. Make good use of the good upbringing your parents have given you. And it will bring them great joy to see you following Christ and growing closer to Him. Really, as they have the privilege of raising you, so what a privilege it is for children to bring great joy to their parents. Verse 26, give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Here we see true discipleship. Discipleship. It's a relationship of learning. You see, it's not a great sermon. It's not a good lecture. But it's a loving relationship, where the teacher doesn't just stand up and give a lecture, and then class is dismissed, and we all go home and go our separate ways. But your teacher takes you by the hand and walks with you. Your parents teach you more by showing you as you live life together. You know, this is really what Deuteronomy 6 is speaking about. I just want to read a few verses from Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, Moses is here instructing fathers to disciple their children. Daily, as you live life together, show your children how to live in the fear of the Lord always. It's not just a lecture. It's a relationship of learning. It's hands-on experience. It's really like an apprentice or an intern. But it's not a business. It's a family. This is God's design. The desire of parents is for the hearts of their children. It says, give me your heart, my son. Not so that the son will love you more and live like you want them to, but that our children would love God more and live how He wants them to. Children, you can learn a lot from your parents. Listen to them and be wise. Watch them and learn how to live. Certainly praise God for their good example that they're setting for you. And press on yourself to delight in the Lord. So in conclusion, we've seen here in these verses some warnings, many instructions, but two important truths I want to remind you of in closing. Sin always disappoints. Sin always disappoints. But God does not. God doesn't. Children, we have been given a great gift in our parents. What a blessing. Certainly they're not perfect. Nobody's parents are. But what a blessing. May we direct our heart in the way. May we go God's way, leading our heart. You know, our parents do not have all the responsibility of raising us. We have a responsibility as children. What will you pursue? What will you apply yourself to? Direct your heart in the way. And likewise, here on earth, we may not have perfect parents, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. He's perfect. And so what should we do? Should we just sit back and say, the Lord is sovereign? I guess He just hasn't given me more wisdom yet. No, not at all. We pursue Him. We pursue His wisdom, understanding, instruction. We don't sit back. We direct our hearts in God's way. What a blessing it is to have godly parents. You children have no idea. Comparatively, the benefit you have being in the families that you're in, it's amazing. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Apply yourself. Direct your heart in God's way. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings you give us. Lord, we think of our parents. Lord, we thank you that you have been so merciful to us. Lord, you have given us all greater parents than we deserve. Lord, I pray that we would bring them joy and gladness. Lord, that you would work in us what is pleasing to you. Lord, that our parents would see this work in us, the righteousness of Christ, obedience to him, and they would rejoice. They would rejoice. Lord, we thank you so much for our parents. We thank you for all the effort and energy that they have invested in our lives. And Lord, we pray that as parents that we would not be lazy. Lord, that we would truly seek the hearts of our children. Lord, that you would be working in us and in them for your glory. Lord, we thank you that you are the perfect parent. Lord, we thank you that although at times our parents have and will disappoint us, yet you do not disappoint. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for these good gifts. Lord, I pray for all the children here, Lord, that you would be working in their hearts. Lord, I pray for the parents that you would be turning their hearts toward their children. Lord, that you would be glorified more and more. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Proverbs. Lord, we just pray that you would work in us your truth and your way, that we would not sit back and relax, Lord, but that we would be diligent, that we would be purposeful in the life that we live, that we would not live for the flesh, living for today, but that we would live for you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.